Joining us now in studio is Northfield's City Administrator, Ben Martig. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Jeff. Sounds like by your news report, we're going to have the highest paid player in the NFL, at least for the day, and selling hope for the Vikings again,
For maybe a few minutes till somebody signs later on in the day, yeah. But at least we have a quarterback, anyway. That's the good news. It was looking kind of iffy that we'd have anything.
Right.
Hey, let's talk about last night's council meeting. You had two things, a meeting and a work session, all kind of wrapped up in one. The meeting was, I don't want to say it is kind of urgent. The meeting was set up last week. You were in here telling us that the bids came in not what you were expecting for the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue, the fire station and the remodeling there. As far as taking action on that last night, what did the council do and where are we at with that?
That's right, Jeff. So the bids, we had 23 bid packages, and of those we received 11 bids out of those, so quite a few we did not receive any bids on for the project. And of those that we received bids, there was only five that had multiple competitive bids related to that. So pretty poor showing on our bidding that we had on our project. And we've heard two things from our consulting team. Number one is that the market's really heating up. It's a local thing, it's a regional thing, it's a national issue that we're hearing about is with the construction economy picking up, it's more competitive, along with a tighter labor force in the construction trades, maybe impacted a little bit during that recession period with people. And in that type of an environment, contractors are a little more choosy on what they're looking at. So this type of management structure that we have with all these direct bids with the city, basically that means the contracts are all held directly with the city, and then we would have a general manager that we've hired to then work with all these subcontractors. A lot of the smaller contractors that do work and specialty contractors are typically don't get involved in a lot of those direct contracts and some of the performance bond issues that we require as a city governmental entity. So what our consultants are suggesting is that we try the general contractor form of bid, where basically one general contractor holds the contracts with the city, and then they work to get their subcontractors basically identified. And they're hopeful that in that type of environment, without some of the extra requirements of paperwork and performance bonds and things, under a general contractor, as well as relationships that generals build with all of their subcontractors, are optimistic that we'll get bids. So that means one of our consultants will no longer be working with us and will be moving on. So even though they're recommending that, they realize they'll be out of a job basically working with ProCon, but they think it's the right thing. So one of the things is we're still in a good bidding environment from a timing standpoint. So we still got some time before the construction season really kicks off. So we really want to take advantage of this window to turn this around quickly, try and get it bid out again to see if we can get some competitive bids. So again, we're optimistic of that. We're going to try and really beat the bushes to get the word out to our general contractors that might be out there. And see how we do. So we'll have bids due on April 3rd. So last evening, council rejected all of the bids that we received, first of all. And then secondly, they authorized basically a reapproval of the plans and specifications and authorized to bid under a general contractor form.
Let's backtrack a little bit and talk about 23 bids you put out there, and only 11 of them got bid upon, and only a few of those were multiple. You know, when you mentioned that last week, I thought, 23? What? You know, I thought most of the projects, you put one bid out there, or maybe two, depending on what the project is, you get it back, and bada-bing. Where did this come along? How did the idea come along of all of these different contractors are seeking individual contracts with each subcontractor as opposed to going to with one general contractor? Where did that idea come from? Was that part of the consultant that put that on? Was that Northfield Area Fire and Rescue? And who's kind of calling the shots on this? Mm-hmm. It's Northfield's building. Looks like you're doing a lot of work on this. NAFRS, their relationship, are they just telling you what they want?
Try and hit all those questions. But maybe I'll start with the process, last piece, and then I'll get to the why a little bit, too, is first of all, it has been a very robust involvement. So we have a consulting team of an architect and construction manager who's on board. Then we have a design committee that includes representatives of the NAFRS board as well as the fire department. They are reviewing the issues. They make recommendations to a facility committee, which is just the NAFRS board members. The NAFRS is weighing in the city council. So pretty robust, I guess, people working on it. So it certainly is open and transparent, and everybody's had their chance for feedback along the way. the why is construction management, which is the multiple bid packages, is one of the two most common ways to do bids for public governments in Minnesota. The general contractor is the other way. Design bids may be another one, but that's really relatively new, and there are some challenges in doing that where you basically hire somebody to design it and build it at the same time. The I-35 bridge is one that they did that to expedite time and things. You lose a little bit of control on the design side of it. But anyway, the why as to why the construction manager was picked is there's two primary reasons to go that route. One is you get to pick who your general is. So when you go through a general contractor bid as an alternative, you get the low bidder. And it's very difficult to identify somebody as not being a responsible bidder, so you can't pick and choose. You really have to go with the lowest bid, unless you can prove that they failed to perform before for you or some other, you know, discrepancies that they have on their bid packages or performance requirements. So you get to pick your general, number one, which there had been a relationship with ProCon, with NAFRS going back, and had been working on this project with Medin Architects. So NAFRS recommended that city reviewed it as well. Number two is that a lot of times, at least historically, maybe not in this current bidding environment, but there is proof to show that when you do individual bid contracts, you might end up with more local contractor work because a general contractor works with whoever they want to, and you really you don't know. So you could have somebody coming from a greater distance away with all of their own team. They come in with all their trades, and then they leave, and none of the work is local. So I think there was a goal to see if we could get more contracts locally through this process. It didn't pan out that way. Again, I think part of that's the environment that we're in. But we really had, I think, one local bid project. We did hear anecdotally that some of the big people we thought would be bidding on it, you know, are booked up. Some of the logical people are booked up into 2019, so that they're not interested. But we think that we can get some more contracts. So that's kind of the why behind the process.
All right. So the bids are now going to be out. What's our time frame here? Put the bids out this week, within the next week, couple of weeks or so, get that done, and hopefully get a bid that can be acceptable.
Yeah, that's right. So we had a little bit of clarifications on our bid specs through the last process, so the architect's getting all that together. There's new contracts under this different form that's happening. So bids will be due on April 3rd. We'll be formally publishing them about on the 21st of March, but we'll be getting those out. And then we'll see, I guess, where they're at. We'll be doing, or I'm sorry, that's the pre-bid. We'll be opening bids on April 12th, it looks like, in coming in for actions after that. So if all goes well, we could have all of our partner approvals and the city coming back at the very beginning of May. May 1st is technically planned for hopefully a contract award. And with that, our schedule has a slight slip, but, you know, in May, we still have inclement weather potentially, so... really, from a construction standpoint, that's still really good timing. So we're hoping that we're hoping things improve, and I guess we'll evaluate as we go along.
Moving on to the next topic, we have talked about municipal identification, and that was a topic from 2017 that kind of carried over. Well, we got everything in place now, and are we going to start soon seeing the will people be able to get a municipal ID? Was that voted on last night? Was that the regular meeting or the work session?
So that was more the work session. Again, we made special exception really for those fire ones to try and turn that around swiftly. So on the municipal identification, it was basically an update that our library director provided. So we're looking at April to start the program. We really have finalized the what the identification will look like. So you can go onto this city library webpage and take a look at it. We'll have a hot link from our city webpage as well. Talked a little bit about process. So the application form was kind of shown, what the identification looks like. We talked a little bit about fees as well for the card. So it's a four-year, it's good for 4 years. Staff's recommendation is $15 for an adult, $10 for youth. And renewals are $5 after that 5 years. So once we get all the paperwork and things, it should be a much more seamless process. So there was some discussion about wanting to just make it $10. There was multiple council members that talked about that, some that like keeping it at the 15. But I think either way, we'd be fully what we're projecting. It's a little hard to estimate on staffing costs, which we talked about. But, you know, I think realistically, we'll be covering our expenses with those types of fees that we have. So I think we'd feel good about either of those. But that'll be up and running. We're going to be working with partners to help provide. We're getting multiple languages. We'll have Spanish and English written application form. We're going to be looking at some partners to help with language barriers that there might be. There were some questions related to those issues. So And it will also function as a library card if you want it to. So you have photo identification showing you're a city resident, and the backside will have the applicability for the library sticker. So it's a pretty cool-looking card, and hopefully something that feels like Northfield.
Moving on, you mentioned the library. Library was on the agenda last night. You talked about that during the work session, and that was about the funding for the library. What did you come up with there?
Yeah, so from an accounting standpoint, we kind of create a special fund for construction, major capital construction projects, and then once you're done, you need to close it down. So really the library project is coming to an end. We haven't had any real activity within that fund, so the finance director is recommending to close it out with the audit report for 2017. We have a negative fund balance within the fund itself, about $177,000. It's being driven by two things. One is there was a little more on legal and engineering expenses than were expected that were allocated into this project to fund, about $41,000. And then $135,000 we were short on pledges that were received or planned to be received for the project on the private fundraising side of things. So the recommendation from staff is next week is that we would transfer some extra dollars that we have. We have some excess reserve funds, kind of been eyeing this project as a use of those funds during the last budget process. So we'll be basically transferring some money in and zeroing out that account and not having any obligations going forward. So I think it was private fundraising was, I think, almost $1 million for the project, which I think was about 32. I don't have it right in front of me here, but I think it was about 32% of the overall project cost. So pretty substantial still private fundraising effort that was done. I certainly wasn't here during that, but I think that you look at a beautiful building and a lot of private contributions into the project as we look back to close it out. So had some discussion on that and expect that to come next week.
All right. Let's talk about pavement and pavement management. You've had paid for a study to be done, I understand, on the conditions of pavement in Northfield, overall pavement. Tell us about that and what they found.
Yeah, so we're trying to take a look at kind of the data to show, let's put a rating system to what the conditions of our street surfacing is as we look to evaluate maintenance program and rehabilitation and reconstruction goals that we have. So we worked with a company to go through and do a rating, kind of gave some examples of where you fall on a 100-point rating system, everywhere from basically a failing grade all the way up to an excellent rating, basically, that we have. So there is about seven different kind of key rating points within that spectrum. And I guess with that, on average, on a 100-point scale, we're at about 74 average rating overall, which puts us in the good category. 70 would be at the fair category. So as our public works director and engineer Dave Bennett was in and talked about, you got to look not only at the average, but also kind of across the spectrum where we're at. So I think it gives us an idea of what to expect on our current conditions and identifying those roads that fall into that. Now, we do have, you know, some that are in that poor to very poor and failing grades, which generated some discussion of the council saying, well, should we have any, we have about 4.1% of our streets are in a failing grade condition. Then on our map shows up in a red. And I think that was one of the policy discussions, is to say, as the council evaluates policy decisions on this, you know, should we have any failing grades, any failing streets within the city? Those would be, you know, major deterioration, potholes very evident, difficult to patch or take care of. So Dave also gave some information on cost. So even if we maintain about $2.6 million per year that we've been putting in towards street reconstruction or street maintenance reconstructions, we'd see over the next 10 years a slight degrade in our overall average grade if we do that. So kind of shows the challenges and cost of infrastructure that we deal with. If you want to maintain that average, we'd have to increase about $300,000 a year to put us at the same grading 10 years out. And if we, and that doesn't include adding any new roads into the system. It doesn't include any major additions. So if you want to do that or you want to improve your grade, he gave several examples within that to say, okay, incrementally, how do we improve upon each one of them? So some good discussion, some interesting questions, too, I think, posed as well. Do we tackle those really low, very poor and poor ones and do a reconstructions? And Dave said, well, that might be where you naturally go, but also emphasized a lot on the importance of maintaining what you've got, so doing seal coats actively, doing repairs. so that those streets that are in the better condition get the longest useful life that they can, because it gets really expensive when you get to the point for reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And to a certain degree, you also want your streets to be able to be fully depreciated out. Probably not to the point where it's so bad that you've got, you know, so many potholes you're causing damage to people's vehicles and things, but there is some, you know, some point where you do want to get that full useful life out of it and spread it as long as you can, just because of that major cost mm-hmm. of the infrastructure.
All right. And as far as the city council and their role in this from a policy level, are they going to be looking at this? They talked about it last night. Is this going to change what we're doing now with our streets a little bit? And where are we going with it?
Hopefully data informs us better mm-hmm. to make broader policy decisions. It will help not only our staff, but I think council to look to see where our priorities, where we put our money. So there was a couple things. One is Dave will be coming back with more financial information in April for ongoing discussion. Certainly there are budget implications as we looked into the new year on budget impacts. There are also questions about how about the way that we fund it? Are there different ways to fund our street programs? We've had some issues with, which isn't easy, on our assessment policies, where how do you create a fair and equitable assessment structure. So I think we'll look at that, as well as to say if there are some interests to go and do and improve our streets, what are some alternative funding options that we might have. So that'll be coming forward for all policy discussion of the council.
Just a quick final question. Do you hear more about roads from citizens than you do any other topic within the city? Is that like the most popular topic that you hear about as far as complaints go?
Hard to say. Definitely up there, I would say, especially if it's out in front of your property or if it's on your typical driving route. Yeah, that's definitely one that we hear about.
Right.
So, but that's fine. I think that's important. We do have a reporting system. It is pothole season, so online or call in, we do want to hear about it. If you're seeing some areas where there's a pothole on city streets, or if you're not sure if it's a city street, we can either ourselves or direct you to the MnDOT or whoever the appropriate people are to deal with it. So, we certainly want to hear about that.
Thanks for coming in, Ben. We appreciate it.
Hey, just one last pitch. Yep. Jeff, I know you've talked about it before, but we do have the State of the City address coming up next Monday at 6:30, so I really want to encourage the listeners to come there. If you can't get there, we are going to do a rebroadcast and have it online, but we'd love to see you at the White Center at 6:30 on Monday night.
Sounds good.
All right, thank
Thanks,
you.
Ben Martin, City Administrator in Northfield. You're listening to 95.1 FM.